Thank you, Robson, for your intro. Indeed, it's a privilege for me to be here this morning with you, to share with you from God's Word. And also on behalf of the Mandarin congregation, I want to thank you for all the trouble you're going to go through next week. Making room for us so quickly, so early to come down here. We do appreciate that. I also remember 10 years ago when Roger just came up from Canberra, when he started his ministry year, one of his first meetings, many of us were together, many of the leadership of all the congregations were here, we met in this room actually. I don't know if Roger remembered this, but he said a few words. He came up here and he was moved by the blessings that we enjoyed here in Australia, in Brisbane, but also here at Southside. And he was making the comment that he hopes that our congregation can become the most thankful congregation, the most thankful church in Brisbane, because of God's blessings. I hope in a small way we are. Remember his blessings. Remember his blessings. Why do we need to remember Anzac Day, Remembrance Day? Why do we need to remember? Because often we forget. Often we forget the sacrifice, the efforts of those who came before us. We need to remember to honor our parents, to appreciate our parents, because often we forget all the suffering, all the sacrifice that they made on our behalf. So too, for Anzac Day, you know, we need to remember, especially as the older generation pass away. Often younger people often are not so knowledgeable of the suffering, of the sacrifice, even of the death, you know, of those who have gone before us. Because of their efforts, because of their suffering, we enjoy the freedom that we have today here in Australia. So too, the church must remember the blessings of the Lord. Why? Because so often we forget. At the Bible College of Queensland, we are experiencing God's blessing. We are experiencing tremendous change. So many things. Just recently, just last week, in fact, we finished the renovations of our auditorium. You know, so now we've got great facilities. You know. This is great. But I'm sure that it could be better. This is my first time I'm worshipping with you in your new auditorium. After the service, I will ask Roger, how is it going? You know, is it working out better here than up there for you? Yeah. But yeah, we are very blessed at the Bible College of Queensland, and God has provided for us. God has provided finances for us to do that. Again, because of the effort, because of the service, because of the giving of those who have come before us. So we are indeed really very blessed. So this morning I thought I will share briefly a few thoughts from you from one of the most famous psalms that talk about God's blessings. And you probably can guess which one it is. Psalm 103. If you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 103. This morning, I just want to share with you from the first five verses. This is a tremendous psalm. I'm sure you are familiar with it. The psalm calls us to remember all his blessings, to remember God's benefits. The psalm comes after Psalm 102. When you read the Bible, it's always good to look at the context. even when you read the Psalms. Often you will note that the sequencing of the Psalms are quite purposeful. Of course, we know Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk, and so it goes on. Then there an introduction to the whole Psalter. Then also Psalm 150. The conclusion, a psalm of praise. Quite fitting. So often, too, when we look at individual psalms, you will often note there is a connection between what comes before and what comes afterward. What comes before Psalm 103? Psalm 102. Well, good. You are on the ball this morning. That's really good to see. Now, Psalm 102, we are not that familiar with Psalm 102. I wonder why. Because if you know, it's not really all that inspiring to read Psalm 102. In Psalm 102, there's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of anguish. There's a lot of sorrow. There is even complaint. Psalm 102 verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn to me. Things are not going that well for the psalmist. Verse 3. My days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I even forget to eat. Verse 5. Because of my loud groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. I am like a desert owl, like an owl among the ruins. The psalmist is not having a good day. Congregation, this is what is so good about the Bible. This is what is so good about the Psalms. It tells it how it is. It does not present this ideal picture where everything is rosy, where everything is going well, where there's only success. No. It talks about real life. Sometimes life is not easy. Sometimes our Christian life is not easy. Sometimes ministry is not easy. That happens. The Bible, the psalmist, is very clear about it. But also, at the same time, there's always hope. Not just hope, there's always renewal. The blessings of God always comes to us in a new way. And this is what Psalm 103 is all about. Something has changed. Something has changed. It's a great psalm. I promised you I will only share a few minutes, so I have to be true to my promise. Sometimes I'm not. But it's a great psalm. Now, we will only share briefly the first five verses. But if you read the whole psalm, you will note there are three foci. There are three main things in the psalm. In the first part of the psalm, it talks about the psalmist. It's David's psalm. David talks about himself individually, what he has experienced of God's blessing. But then it goes on, verse 6 and following. It talks about the church, or it talks about Israel. And in the last part of the psalm, verse 19 and following, it talks about God's universal kingdom. So it starts with the individual, then it goes over onto the church, and then from that it moves beyond to God's universal kingdom. I really love the songs we sang this morning. The last one. It's not about me. It's not about us. You know, it's about Jesus. It's about His kingdom. But God meets us where we are. David went through hard slogs in his life. God met him where he was. God changed his situation. But then God made him a blessing for Israel, a blessing to the church. And then even beyond that, Israel, the church, became a blessing for the whole world. It's about God. It's about God's kingdom. But God knows, God remembers that we are like grass. God remembers that we are like dust. Isn't it? It's not about us. But sometimes it's very difficult for us, isn't it? We know we need to be a blessing in the church. We know we need to be a blessing to our neighbor. But we are like grass. We are like dust. God meets us where we are. And God lifts us up. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. David's experience. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all His benefits. Now dear, David is stirring himself up to praise the Lord with his inmost being. He gets excited about it. We can get excited about worship. We should get excited about worship. Because God is great. So don't shy away from it. Don't just get excited when the Reds beat the Stormers. No, I don't know in which league you are. Get excited about coming to worship God. Remember what God has done for you and what God is doing for you. David, he has a history with God. He stirs himself up to worship God, to praise God. Then note, there are six blessings here. The last line there of verse 2. Do not forget all his benefits. Do not forget. In fact, that is one of the major reasons why we worship every Sunday morning, is to remember. Because we often forget. Do not forget all his benefits. And then David goes on to list six benefits. Six blessings. First of all, the blessing of forgiveness. Who forgives all your sins. The blessing of forgiveness. It's mentioned first. Why? This is the root blessing. There's nothing more important than this. Of course, we remember the Lord Jesus Christ. How does God forgive us? How can God forgive us? It is the gospel. It is because of the Lord's sacrifice. It is because of the Lord's suffering. It is because of Jesus' death on the cross. That now we can be reconciled with God. We can have this new freedom of the forgiveness of sins. We no longer need to live under the condemnation of punishment. Under the condemnation of everlasting destruction away from God. Rather, now we have the blessing and the hope of everlasting life. Nationally, politically, we enjoy freedom because of the sacrifice of the Anzacs. For us, we enjoy spiritual freedom. The hope of everlasting life because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. If we don't have this, all other blessings or benefits are but fleeting. Very soon, coming to an end. But for us as Christians, we stand in the marvelous love and forgiveness of God, who always forgives your sins. For myself, I'm often amazed by God's renewing forgiveness. You know, so many failings, so many shortcomings in my life. But yet, Psalm 32. How blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. How blessed. 1 John 1:9. We all have sinned, but if we confess our sins, what does it say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. Often go to God, confess your sins, there will be forgiveness. This is the root blessing, reconciliation with God, relationship with God, forgiveness of sins, the hope of everlasting life. The second blessing, the blessing of health. God continues to heal. I would say there is a order of priority here. The root blessing is the forgiveness of sins. What is the second most important thing in your life? What is the second most important blessing that you can experience? It's a blessing of health. You don't know that until you lose your health. Isn't it? That's true. You know, when you have a bodily ailment, you know, we all experience things now and then, you know, sickness. But it you know, if your stomach is sore, you want to have any other ailment except a sore stomach. Everything else seems better than having a really sore stomach, isn't it? If I have a migraine headache, you know, nothing is as worse as having a migraine headache. If you have a backache, Lord, I'd rather have some other kind of disease, but not this. you don't know the preciousness of health until you lose it. Without health, what can you do? We talk about physical health. We talk about mental health. We talk about emotional health. All these things. What does God do? Don't forget all His benefits. He forgives your sins, but also He heals all your diseases. We all have experiences of God's healing. God is a healer. The Lord Jesus came to heal. My back is not very good. I've got many other aches and pains, but I've got a big back problem. About 20 years ago, I couldn't walk. And I couldn't walk. Very painful, just lying on the bed there. But then, praise the Lord. You know, I had an operation and there was almost a miraculous recovery. After the operation, the surgeon said, someone upstairs looked after him. And I experienced an amazing recovery for my back. So for the last, the operation happened about 20 years ago. So for the last 18 years, it was almost perfect. Why only the last 18 years? Because I did a very dumb thing about 2 years ago. Landscaping. Carrying stones, you know, up our driveway. It was the most silly thing that I've ever done. You know, after 2 days of that, you know, when you're busy, you don't realize it. I realized something is wrong here. You know, all that pain, all that thing of all those things of 20 years ago came back. Have you ever had regrets? It's a terrible thing to have, isn't it? What have I done? So I remember just about the third day after that, you know, I just lay on my bed and I pray. you know, I prayed for healing. It's amazing how fervent you become, your prayer suddenly become when you're really desperate, isn't it? But I prayed for healing, and I experienced God healing just there. You know, I would say 50% healing on the bed. I can feel that. Now, thankfully, after 1 or 2 years, my back is quite good again. How does that happen? Healing. Doctors can't heal. You know, I don't know if you know much about medicine. The first thing that you learn in medical school is doctors can't heal. What they say, basically the body must heal itself. Doctors, they just facilitate that healing process of the body itself. Taking out obstacles away and things like that. Doctors can't heal. The body heals itself. Or rather, it's not the body that heals itself, it's God who heals. Do not forget all His benefits. The third blessing is the blessing of a constructive life. The psalmist says, remember Him who redeems your life from the pit. Again, it's a very colorful image here. Who redeems your life from the pit. What does this mean? Often the psalmist talks about being in the miry pit, being in the mud. Yes, when you are playing in a, when you are in a miry pit, everything is is muddy, everything is in a mess, you can't get out. You don't know where to go. Basically, your life is heading towards destruction. And there's no way out. God comes down and He redeems your life from the pit. What is the psalmist talking about here when he talks about life? I looked up a few dictionary meanings for life. And I think I found a good one. You know, and I think this is what the psalmist means here when he talks about life. And what is life? The sequence of physical and mental experiences that make up the existence of an individual. Do you like that? It's a mouthful, isn't it? The sequence of physical and mental experiences that make up the existence of an individual. Sometimes, how does your physical, mental experiences go about life? sometimes, not that crass heart, is it? God comes, and He redeems you, He buys you out, He pulls you out of the miry clay. He gives purpose, meaning, structure, regularity back to your life. Meaning in life, hope, vision. That's a rare blessing. That's a rare blessing. Two people are in jail, in the same cell, in the same bad condition. One is elated, delighted, a big smile on his face. The other one is very gloomy, very dark, no joy. Why? What's the difference? Because the one knows that the next day he will be released. The other one knows that the next day he will be executed. The situation exactly the same, but there's a difference in hope. There's a difference in direction, a difference in meaning. The blessing of living a constructive life. When I look at my friends, even when I look at my family members, when I look at my brothers, we're not all Christians. When I look at my brothers, I see myself in them. Same upbringing, same character, same behaviors. I see myself in them. But now one of my brothers are in a very bad place. In a very bad place. I look at myself, and I know, except for God being in my life, I would have probably been in a worse place than he is now. But because God gives foundation, gives a framework, gives direction, you know, there is some purpose, there is some productivity in my life. Remember the story of Ruth in the Old Testament? Ruth in Moab, you know, her husband died, drought, no future, very desperate. Then she follows Naomi to Israel. When she went to Israel, even poorer in Moab, at least, you know, they had a house to live, you know, at least some food to eat. In coming back to Israel, nothing. So she just stayed there beside the field. Desperate, no future. But then Boaz came along, and what did he do? He redeemed her. He pulled her out of her situation, gave her a new future. This is what God does with us. The blessing of living a constructive life. The fourth blessing, the blessing of numerous favors, special treatments. Have you received special blessings from God? Probably many. Good turns. These are all blessings from above. Just one verse I will share with you. Hosea chapter 3 verse 5. It's a very beautiful verse. Hosea chapter 3 verse 5. Let me find it. In the latter days they will return to the Lord and David his servant, and they will fear his goodness. Oh, you've got it up there. Great, isn't it? They will. That's the NIV's translation there. After Israel will return and seek the Lord of David the King. They will come. Note, they will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last day. The New King James Version there is, they will fear the Lord and his goodness. Isn't that a strange way of putting it? They will tremble at the Lord's goodness, at his blessings. Why does it express itself like that? Because when you know you don't deserve a blessing, you feel very unworthy. You even become scared to take up the honor, to take up the privilege. I do beg your pardon. I'm too long. The fifth blessing. The blessings of dreams coming true. The blessing of dreams coming true. God has a way of making our inmost, our biggest desires coming true. Isn't that amazing? Psalm 35, Psalm 37, verse 4. A very beautiful passage. Psalm 37 verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. They are amazingly fast over there, isn't it? Tremendous. And he will give you the desires of your heart. The fulfillment of a dream. Isn't that a great experience? You know? Yeah. Finally, the sixth blessing. The blessing of renewal. Note how David puts it. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The blessing of a new beginning. The blessing of a second chance. Note the image that is used here. The image of the eagle. In the Bible, in many cultures, an eagle is a symbol of strength and courage. It's a symbol of the king of the birds. Eagles, magnificent birds. The wingspan of some eagles grows up to 2.5, 3 meters. Magnificent creatures. The eagle, they are swift, they are strong. Eagles select the highest cliffs and trees to rest. Eagles, they are known for their vision, for their remarkable eyesight. Eagles never flock. They never flock. Eagles are monogamous. They mate only with one partner, and every year nest in the same place. Eagles, some species, also shed their feathers at the beginning of spring, after winter. And even old eagles look very young. God's blessings. He blesses you with many blessings so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Your life becomes courageous and strong. You have renewed vision, sharpness, keenness of eye to see God's future, God's kingdom. You live above the mundane affairs of this world. You nest in the cliffs, not in the valleys, not in the mud. The world is still there. But you live above these things that drag most people down. You do not follow the crowd. You never see an eagle following a swarm of other birds, no. Eagles never flock. You do not follow the crowd. You do not give in to peer pressure. You have the courage, you have the strength to stand, to remain firm. Eagles are monogamous. Isn't that interesting? You are faithful to your wife. You are faithful to your husband. You show true love, a love that never fails. Eagles shed their feathers and grow new ones. You know, it's like the scribe in the kingdom, isn't it? Out of his bag brings out old things and new things. You know, there are winters, but after the winter, there's a new beginning, a second chance. Remember his blessings. Remember his blessings. I will encourage you this week, perhaps maybe even tomorrow. I don't think you need to go to work tomorrow. Take time. Take time, lest we forget. Remember what God has done for you. Remember what God still is doing for you. And write it down. Write it down. I'll suggest reflect on Psalm 103, the first five verses here. Write down at least six blessings. The blessing of forgiveness. The blessing of health. The blessing of a constructive life. The blessing of surprises, special treatments. The blessing of a dream coming true. And the blessing of renewal, a new beginning. Let's pray.